This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, a daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
Today is Monday, April the 22nd,
Monday.
Which means that our date, the word today, is coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
That's true. You know, the lusts of the flesh, all these things in life that tempt us and entice us, they actually end up corrupting us. That's the real power of sin,
yeah.
Is that it comes in looking so nice and so beautiful and so tempting, and yet from the inside out, it gets into our heart and it corrupts us. So our goal really as Christians is to put off that old man. When we say that we've been transformed into the newness of Christ, that's what it means, is that old person that I was has to be put away. It has to be buried. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be killed and buried.
Paul hits every time.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he's talking to the Ephesians here because that old behavior, that old man continues to creep in. And that's something that we all struggle with. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we're going to continue to struggle with this side of heaven. But the goal of the Christian life is that putting off the old man will become more of a habit for you. It'll become easier and easier, and it would become your default choice. Not that you won't ever struggle with sin, but the goal is that you would struggle with sin less.
That's right. And if you guys want premium access to all these verses right here on the day that they air, you can do that by getting the Date the Word app. In fact, they're a partial sponsor of the show today. You can get it for free on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word in the hope of making it more memorable for you.
That's right.
And, you know, it is Monday.
It is Monday.
And that means it's time for what is quickly becoming one of my favorite segments.
Yeah.
Stinking All the Small Things.
All the Small Things.
All the Small Things is our Monday segment. That's where we talk about some of these little things in life that God has given us to enjoy. I've been waiting to talk about this one. I wanted to talk about it on a day where you were here and where Dr. Shah was here, and because this is something near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
I love when motorcycles pass me on the road.
Okay.
Most people hate it, but I always envision myself on a motocycle, like rum, rum, rum,
rum, rum, rum. Have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
Never in my life.
Okay.
I have always wanted one. I've been too scared of them when I actually had the chance to ride on. So, and plus, also, when you're a guy and your friends ride motorcycles, you gotta like ride like hugging them on the back. So I never actually got a chance to ride a motorcycle, let alone drive one.
Me neither.
But now that I'm in my 30s, I'm thinking this is the perfect time. I'm thinking this is
no.
the greatest time to actually start riding a motorcycle.
No, immediately no.
Really?
Yes, absolutely
not. Would you buy one?
No.
Why?
because I'm in my 30s.
I think this is the perfect
20s purchase.
Yes, yeah. And that's one thing that David has always told me is that you ride a motorcycle when you're young and then by the time you're 30. But I genuinely feel a lot of times, and here's my counter to that. When you see bikers, we got a lot of bikers that are visiting our church here right now. None of them are in their 20s.
Right, but they have been riding motorcycles for years.
Fair.
They didn't just hop on this bandwagon.
But I don't feel as though there's a cutoff to being a biker. Like, I feel, and I really, I genuinely feel this in my heart, that I could start in my 30s. I feel like I could be a biker.
No.
I've got the personality. I've got the threads.
Absolutely not. No. I'm going to say this with all the love and compassion and concern that I have in my heart.
Uh-huh.
No one would take you seriously if you rolled up on a motorcycle.
You can't mean that.
No. I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
No one
would take you seriously. I say that because no one would take me seriously. Like, you and I, if we rolled up on motorcycles, people would laugh.
Right.
Because we're not motorcycle guys.
We're kind of like music nerds and like theater guys.
Right.
And radio voice.
We cannot pull that off.
I feel like if I rolled up to a farm in like boots and like riding on a tractor, people would be like, that guy's faking. Like a country hat.
Yes.
Tight jeans.
Yes. That reaction.
Big lift. Kit
copy
on my truck.
Paste if you drive up on a motorcycle.
I feel as though they would accept me.
No.
And I want you to know this.
Feel that way, but the facts are that they will not.
More than feeling it, I desire it.
To have your feelings hurt.
No. More, I desire to not only drive a motorcycle, but be in the biker culture. And here's the thing. We need to go to a break. I know that I want it because I've wanted it for so long.
No. No, absolutely.
Let's ask Dr. Shah. You know Dr. Shah rode a motorcycle.
I do. I do know that he rode a motorcycle, which you guys might be surprised to know that listening to the show. He is a biker.
He would like go around the streets of India like brum, 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 brum. And that's not the motor. That was with his mouth. He was like making those sounds at the stop sign.
Write in and let us know if you think that John can pull off motorcycle culture.
If Dr. Shaw can pull it off, I feel as though I can pull it off.
Wait, but how old was he when he pulled it off?
Like 17.
He wasn't in his 30s.
Yeah, he was 17.
Right. Write in and let us know. And especially those of you who are in motorcycle culture, let us know those unspoken rules because my friend John here is not mine.
I just want to be one of you.
252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house. Wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinav Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, the host of today's show, professional biker, maybe?
Confirmed.
Maybe? Confirmed.
Confirmed. So 100% confirmed.
This is 100% confirmed.
I'm going to go ahead and lock that in as confirmed.
You beat me to it. I'm going to have to go ahead and lock that down as 100% confirmed. Dr. Shah,
yes.
You were a cyclist. You were a motorcyclist.
Yes. Dude, but back in India.
That is the coolest.
Out of necessity.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't drive cars there through the narrow streets that were not built to have four-wheelers or four-wheel mobiles.
So when we say motorcycle, was it a motorcycle or was it what you would consider like a Vespa scooter? Or was it like, would you
say? No, when I was in When I was like ninth grade or eighth grade, ninth grade, that's when I had the moped.
Bro.
But it was not like the moped you see here, like brr.
Like a little beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, no, no. It just looked much better than that. It looks like a motorcycle, except it was not as big and as powerful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then I did end up getting one through my college years there.
Nice. So it did look cool. Did you feel cool?
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah. It, it felt cool.
Really, the bedrock of this is that we can confirm that you are a biker.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all want to throw that on the screen here, I don't know if you can or not. It's like, it was Hero Honda, H-E-R-O-H-O-N-D-A, Hero Honda. This right here.
That's it.
It's right here. Hit that.
That's the one.
Yep. Yep.
That's it, man.
It looked more like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
I love cool looking bikes. And my question to you is, what's the cutoff age? Like, if I'm 32 and if I got a bike now, Ryan was very against it.
Yeah.
David was super against it.
The cutoff age would be somewhere like 20.
Come on.
Yeah. You don't need
How
a
old
bike.
Were you when you were riding the motorcycle, David? I know was, you were like 20. A youngish guy.
I was 17, 18.
Golly. You gonna ride again, David?
Not right now.
Okay.
Beyond.
I was like, I don't want to be called
Someone
out.
Someone beyond.
Thank you.
Someone
I get
beyond.
Called out enough. I don't want to get called out right now.
No, thank you.
Someone beyond 20 is not riding a motorcycle. Let me ask you this. No. What about a monster truck right down the center aisle of the pulpit? Like just a monster truck in church. Would you do that? You know, a church recently
I would
did that.
I would drive a monster truck. Like, I think that would be a fun experience.
Yeah.
But not in the middle of church.
I think you know where I'm going with
I
this.
Think I do know where you're going with this based on current events.
Well,
there is an event where a church had monster trucks and, you know.
I didn't really have so much of a problem with the monster truck. I was like, that's odd for a men's conference. I mean, of course, we're talking about what happened over at James River Church in Missouri. People are writing in asking. They wanted to know what you thought of them.
Yeah. James River in?
In Missouri.
It was it Missouri? Is mm-hmm. it? Okay.
It was the Stronger Men's Conference at James River Church in Missouri.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
And monster truck rally at a men's conference. Okay, I mean...
But if you clicked on this podcast episode, you know we ain't talking about the monster.
No, we're not talking the monster trucks. Yeah. We're talking about the, you know, of course, the sword swallower / striptease performance.
I mean, that's kind of what it was. Maybe.
And really,
warning if you're listening with small children.
Really, the response from Mark Driscoll, who was the keynote speaker at that conference.
That's kind of where everybody's conversation is, because I think people are divided. So basically, what happened was just, you know, John Lindell had this act that came
He's
up.
He's the pastor of the church.
Right. And he was the organizer of the conference. And, yes, you're right. But anyway, he had this guy come and do a sword swallowing routine. And then Mark Driscoll got up and openly rebuked it at the opening of the conference. But I think where the deeper conversation, if it was just gossip, we wouldn't bother with it. But what the deeper conversation seems to be going is people are divided on the internet and on radio and on podcasts about, does Matthew 18 apply here? Because really, I think the aftermath was John Lindell got up and said, you know, Mark Driscoll's out of line. We were together for 30 minutes, but for a whole half hour, he never said anything to me.
Mm-hmm. And he brought up Matthew 18.
Right.
As the reason.
And whether or not that's true, I mean, nobody can know from online videos, but I guess that's really the deeper conversation to be had here.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do I weigh in on this? Because I heard about it through you. You sent me a link, a video, and said, can you check this out and see what you think? And I saw that, and I was listening to Mark Driscoll, but I was watching down below because they had whoever put this TikTok video together, they kind of pieced together Mark Driscoll talking and then the video of this man doing his routine on the stage at a men's conference.
Right.
And I was just like, whoa, what in the world? And then I started listening again to Mark Driscoll, and then I saw the interchange between him and the pastor of that church who put this conference together, and then the pastor sort of told him, you're out of line or you need to get off or something of that sort.
Yeah. Kicked him off the stage.
Kicked him off the stage, and Mark Driscoll said, I'll receive that, and he closed up his Bible and walked off, and the crowd began to boo the pastor of the church. And so the big question is, was it right what happened? So there are several things that are happening here from my perspective. One, of course, is the Matthew 18 passage that was invoked by the pastor when he got up there. I don't know how much he knows the Bible or not. I'm not here to judge that.
Right.
I think that was taken out of context because Matthew 18 is about one-on-one sin.
Correct.
And this was not a one-on-one sin. This is about something that happened in a in an audience setting. So a better passage that is suited would be probably Galatians.
Right.
In Galatians, where Paul is confronting Peter because of his hypocrisy in the presence of the Gentile believers. Prior to the Judaizers coming to the church, Peter was sitting there with them, with the Gentiles, and eating whatever was placed before him. But when the Judaizers showed up, Peter sort of got up and he slipped out, and then he came back and sat with the Judaizers.
Right.
And it says here in Galatians chapter 2 that even the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy.
Right.
But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all.
Mm-hmm.
Before them all.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, was the situation that took place at this men's conference in the same vein as the situation here in the Galatian letter?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Was there also something there that was so theologically critical that it had to be opposed in before everybody?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, what we're going to discuss today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Because, I mean, even the pastor said it himself. Like if you listen to the video, he actually quotes Matthew 18, and he says, you know, if your brother offends you, that you go to him privately. But the issue isn't that I was offended.
By
the
my brother.
Is, right, right, right. The issue is that this was wrong, and it was done before God's assembly.
Yeah.
Where, and the same platform where the word of God is to be opened and read. And that's, I guess that really is the,
yeah,
like you said, the central question here.
Now, the next thing that this pastor also said from the stage, mm-hmm, is that I was with Mark Driscoll for 30 minutes,
mm-hmm,
and he did not say a word about it. Maybe I'm paraphrasing. Or
yeah,
maybe
no, that's
he said,
exactly yeah, what he says.
So I guess, was he telling the truth? If this was true, that yes, they had the 30 minutes and Mark Driscoll did not say a word about it, then I think it wasn't right for Mark to pull that,
mm-hmm,
in front of everybody at the conference.
Mm-hmm.
What he could have done was told the pastor, I cannot in good conscience get up and do this unless I condemn that.
Yeah.
And if you're okay with me giving my opinion about it,
mm-hmm,
then I'm ready to go do that. Because that conference is that pastor's conference.
Right.
This pastor has put this together.
Right.
So he should have said that to him.
Hmm.
There's lots of different things to consider, and there's lots of different outcomes. When is it appropriate to, I guess, like we've said, if there's something that happens in a church or in a gathering, like a religious convention context, when is it appropriate to stand up and say, I can't condone this. I have to speak out against this.
Okay, so let's change that discussion a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's imagine you're sitting at a convention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Similar convention, and it's not something lewd and crude happening there.
Right.
We just talked about the other day about how anti-Semitism is on a rise.
True, yes.
Right?
Yes.
In our nation, all over the world. And it's tragic because sometimes the church is just sheepishly or maliciously silent about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm at a pastor's conference or a men's conference. And the speaker before me or this act before me is anti-Semitic, and they throw a Nazi salute.
Mm. Mm.
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great point.
What do I do? Should I? Now, if I am 30 minutes with the pastor before I get up to speak, then I'm going to tell him, hey, what just happened there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Either you get up and you condemn that,
or I'm going to
do it.
Yeah.
Either you get up and say, that right there was not what we were expecting. I was totally unaware of that happening, and we are very sorry, and we will deal with the individuals who brought that garbage here,
mm-hmm,
and we're not going to tolerate that behavior.
Right.
Or I'm going to get up and say it. I'm not going to blame you, but I'm going to get up and say that anti-Semitism of any kind is not acceptable.
Right, right. It's one of the things where you start to weigh, because with that example, and then of course with what happened at James River, it feels so obvious, mm-hmm, that this is inappropriate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I wonder how many times this has happened. Well, I guess really I wonder a couple of things. I wonder how something like this gets so far up into the church where it's like, this is fine. Everybody's on board with it. Because this kind of thing doesn't happen. It takes planning and prep and all this stuff. So people have seen it.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, was the pastor truly aware of this act being from... Because they may not have told him everything. Again, we're going by ignorance here.
True.
Was the pastor truly aware that this man was a male stripper? Am I right? And that's what they're saying?
He's
from
a
Las Vegas
performer, yeah.
Vegas performer. If he did not know that and all they told him was like a gymnast is going to be over there and he's... Now, even then, I mean, you know me, I'm going to vet everything. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's such a big, large event and it's like a men's conference they're trying to, you know, have the... You know... He-Man, Women Haters Club kind of setting, which I don't get. I mean, it's okay if you want to do that and bend medals and all that. Maybe the young boys will enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, the young kids will enjoy that. But if he was truly not aware of it and Mark had time to talk to him, what could have been good was Mark could have given this pastor an out and said, hey, listen, why don't you go up there and call this out?
Right.
Yeah.
You call it out. This is your conference. You call it out.
Yeah.
I think that would have been far more dignified if the pastor would have gotten up and said, hey, listen, guys, I want to go and apologize to you because something happened here that I take the blame for. I wasn't aware that this was going to be on the thing. And somebody put it up there without consulting me on it, or I'm not even blaming them. I'm taking the blame, but it should not have been.
Yeah.
I think that would have been better. Mm-hmm. But for Mark to say the way he did it, which leads me to think that he never had a conversation with the pastor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's one of the things where you try to put yourself in that situation. You try to imagine the things leading up to it. And then also how it would be if you were in that situation. Like I said, from the outside looking in, it's very easy for us to sit around this table and it's extremely easy for people on TikTok to see something and it looks so obvious. Mm-hmm. But then I wonder how obvious it is to, I mean, obviously it was pretty obvious to Mark Driscoll, but then even like, what do you do in other situations where it's something, and I think this was a lightning round question, when it's just something that you disagree with doctrinally. Mm-hmm. Like if you follow an act that espouses a doctrine that you find harmful.
Yeah.
You know?
Depends on what they're saying. If it's one of those crucial doctrines, like inerrancy of scripture, and again, I hate to even put them in tears.
Sure.
T-I-E-R.
Right.
Tears. But if it was something about the inerrancy of scripture or the Trinity or the humanity, deity of Christ coming together in one, or the exclusivity of salvation, Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, there's a real heaven, real hell. These kind of core doctrines, that's what we're talking about, I would definitely call it out. Mm. But if it's like secondary, tertiary type issues, again, I'm not too keen on even calling things secondary, tertiary, I would sort of be like, okay, whatever, this... Let's open our word of God, and let's get here.
Right,
I'll just go there.
Yeah,
and not waste people's time and effort.
Yeah,
in coming. But in this situation, I think he not giving the pastor the opportunity to call it out, and then calling it out yourself is not the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now, if he doesn't call it out, then let him know. Hey, I'll. If you're okay, I'm going to say something about that.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
And then if the pastor just says, or he brushes him off, then at that point, it's a toss-up. I may just get up there and do it anyways.
Yeah.
But I'll say, now, I gave you an opportunity to call this out, but you should have done that because my men are here too. Mm-hmm. So I feel responsible to say something about this, so I'm going to say it.
Right.
And then if that pastor tells me, you're out of line, you got to get off the stage, then I'll take it.
Yeah.
But... I don't know if Mark did that. I don't know who.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have the information behind the curtain. We don't know. Yeah. We weren't in the room when those conversations would have happened.
And all you can go on is what the feeling you get when you watch it, which is not always reliable. Mm-hmm. But I do feel maybe there's a spirit of opportunity there. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mark Driscoll sees something like that happen. And he goes, you know, I've been involved in some controversies in the past. Maybe I can look. Kind of good here. Maybe I can take the moral high ground.
Yeah,
there are pastors who have done that. These public figures do that. I mean, I wouldn't put those things past some big names because to resurrect a career or to just get some talk going. Yeah. People have done things that I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Well, I know what you're doing. I don't know.
That opportunistic view, that stance, I mean, that's pride. I want to put myself back on top. I want to make myself established. I want to make myself, you know, a contender.
It's always telling, I think, and I'm not saying this of Mark Driscoll like 100%, but I think when it happens, and you know when it happens, it's easy to see when someone scrambles for moral high ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to me, and when I've seen you lead, I've watched you lead for 10 years, Dr. Shah, and it's taking the moral high ground, it's not a burden, but it's like a heavy as the head sort of.
Yeah.
Like this is a burden of responsibility.
Right.
Not a burden like I don't want to do it, it's difficult, but it's like this is what a leader must do.
Yeah.
Sometimes, it feels good to stand up for what's right. Sometimes it really, really stinks, and you have to take what comes with it.
Right.
But, you know, I guess it's not for us to judge this guy's heart, but just to, I mean, this is the conversation people are having. I definitely do agree with you that the Matthew 18 thing doesn't hold up here, but
no. Yeah.
I think the Galatians 2 does, albeit if they had the conversation beforehand, which I don't think they did, then I can say this was not, according to Galatians 2, was not followed very well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And maybe we can kind of land here, because this is something that we've talked about, not in private, but like off mic, I guess I should say, is even here recently, there's a very big difference between artfully deceiving people and discerningly articulating your message.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's a really, really, really fine line.
Yeah.
But I see maybe there's a chance that some of this is happening where communication backstage is getting, and I mean, we've all, you've been a stage manager for productions that we've done, and Dr. Shah, you've emceed countless shows that aren't even at Clearview, just in the community. So we know backstage communications, miscommunications happen, 100%. But there's also, when the spotlight is on and the microphone's in your hand, there's an opportunity, when all the eyes are on you, to communicate what you want to communicate.
Sure.
And maybe there's some artful deception there. But one thing that you told me, and maybe you can, I don't want to ramble on here, but one thing you have told me is you want to avoid that in lieu of discerningly articulating the truth and always sticking with the truth of the matter.
Right, right. Discerningly articulating the truth is the way we need to go, not artful deception.
Right.
Here, I 100% disagree with the whole performance. That should not have happened. And then I also want to put some blame on this pastor. Why didn't you check and make sure what is happening in your program? Are you that big that you are like, well, I delegated that to my assistant? Well, I would have definitely gone. I mean, I tell you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We're not a huge church, but we're a good size.
We're a pretty big church,
And we make sure, special events especially, hey, I want to go over the whole service. What's going on? Who's coming in? When do they come in? What do I say? What are you saying? What's going to be on the screen? We make sure all these things line up. So did this pastor know? Or was he completely unaware?
Yeah, because either way, it's not good.
Yeah, either way, it's not.
No, either way, it's not. So I don't want to be like, oh, Mark Driscoll took an opportunity and did what he did. Okay, well, God's going to answer. He's going to have to answer to God for that.
Right, right, right.
But also, this pastor has to answer.
Right.
You've been given an opportunity to impact, look like thousands of men out there.
Yeah.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ at 100%. A time where men need to hear about holiness.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hear about what it means to live righteous in an unrighteous world, and you're doing that.
Yeah.
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 That, I mean, I get it. And I'm one of those people who wants to use every available, but what?
Christ-honoring.
Christ-honoring means. So if you want to do a monster truck, I would be the first to say, yes, do it.
Go for it.
If you want to do something big and crazy, bring in guys who can bend barbells or whatever, go for it. But that was not necessary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you do really have to take into account these kind of things and ask yourself, does it honor Christ? And yeah. I love that that's
the metric.
That's the metric. It's not a metric. It's the metric.
Yeah. That part, I think, crossed the line. So
100%.
If we're going to do those kind of things, you got to know when it crosses the line.
Yeah.
And I definitely the line was crossed.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
And also, this is something that we do at Clearview very well. I'm not saying that to brag, but I'm actually grateful for it, is we establish the line.
Yeah.
You know, we know exactly what the line is. It's not like, well, you kind of know it when you see it. It's like, no, we establish it so that things like this can't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's going to, maybe that looks different for each and every church, but hopefully it doesn't have to get that far.
That's right.
That far. That's why I said that. Like, to us, it seems very obvious that it was inappropriate, but to a bunch of people, they thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Sad.
Hopefully today's episode was helpful for you guys in articulating through that debate that's going on and in, you know, establishing that line for your church, for your ministry.
A bunch of people are replanning their men's conferences on no sword swallowers.
No sword swallowers.
Circle, underline.
Shirt stays on.
Yeah, yes. Shirt stays on, 100%.
No, I would say,
fine.
Go beyond that and find out who is that person coming.
Yeah, there you go.
Vet everyone.
Yes, good grief.
Absolutely. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if it was helpful for you, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Be a part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show by impacting the nations with the gospel of Jesus. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Everybody wants to protect your kids, right? Everybody wants to make sure that your kids are sheltered from the scary world of, I guess, sword swallowers and monster trucks and all that stuff. But listen, is there such a thing as overprotecting your kids? You know, can you shelter and protect your kids so much that actually does some damage? We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's episode.
That sounds like a good one. Make sure you guys are here. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.
What's going on, Clearview Today family? John here, and I want to let you know about a movie being produced right here in North Carolina called Resurrecting Eden. This is a love story. It's a period piece set in the southern United States between two slaves who find themselves on opposite ends of slave society. There's an executive team who's putting this movie together, and they're calling for actors and sponsors right here in North Carolina, Triangle area, and beyond. There's two very important meetings happening on Saturday, April the 20th. There's a sponsorship breakfast happening at 9:30 a.m. and then the casting call for the movie is happening later that same day from 2 to 4 p.m. And both those meetings are being held at Clearview Church in Henderson, but it is happening very soon. So if you're an actor or a potential sponsor in the North Carolina area, you can reach out to 252-572-2358 to register. Again, that number is 252-572-2358, and we're going to leave all the relevant information in the description below.